this is your Polycast for Wednesday, April 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some Minnesota members of Congress are speaking out during the recess, and it's back to work at the state capitol. A Minneapolis City Council committee has rejected a proposed fine and license suspension for a liquor store owner who jumped the gun on Sunday sales. Matt Sepik reports.
Jim Sertic opened his shop in northeast Minneapolis on March 12th after lawmakers repealed Minnesota's Sunday booze ban, but the new state law doesn't take effect until July. In a deal with city licensing officials, Sertic agreed to close for the first 9 Sundays of legal sales plus a Saturday and pay a $6,000 fine. But Councilmember Lisa Goodman says that's too lenient.
We went down and asked him not to open. The state called him and asked him not to be open. And he basically said, too bad, I'm not going to do it. And I was home. I watched it on TV. You got a lot of publicity out of it.
Sertic's attorney Dennis Johnson says opening on Sunday was a, quote, bonehead move, and the fine wipes out the store's profits from that day. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Some Democrats in Congress say if President Trump hopes to succeed with his plan to overhaul the tax system, he'll need to release his own tax returns. Trump was the first candidate in 40 years who didn't release his taxes. NPR's Tom Weber asked 3rd District Republican Congressman Eric Paulson why he voted against forcing Trump to release his tax returns.
The Ways and Means Committee has never in its history been in the business of targeting an individual American's tax returns. We saw that happen just a few years ago when the IRS targeted individuals based on their personal beliefs, and there was outrage from all sides. So, you know, that's kind of outside the bounds of precedent and our authority, actually, because the authority that we have under the statute only allows us to ask for the chairman of the committee actually to look at an individual's returns based on the application of the tax law itself.
But there is no
target anyone.
But there's not a proposal to target any Joe or Jane. The idea is specifically to say, look, the President of the United States, as mm-hmm. you've said, you support the idea. The President of the United States might be proposing tax policy. We should know what his taxes are that he pays.
Yeah, and we don't even know what the President has proposed actually for tax.
That's true.
Tax reform. I expect the administration will come out and do that pretty soon. But it's just like all elected officials, you know, members of Congress have to, you know, release publicly, you know, their financial background, history, investments, et cetera. The President has to do the same thing. I do think ultimately some of the concerns that folks have raised are very appropriate, but they are better left because it wasn't so much on the tax bill that might be written. It was more or less along, you know, potential connections to Russia. I think that's better left to the investigative committees that are doing those investigations, including the FBI, by the way. But I do think that that's fully appropriate that those more suitable channels are looking into those propositions. And if any of those venues came back and said, look, we do need to look at tax returns because we would want to further our investigation, whether it's criminal or otherwise, I would have no problem then really, you know, voting to release under that circumstance. But just given what's been going on in Washington, I would hate to see anyone's civil liberties violated or privacy rights violated, regardless of who the party is who's in control.
That's Republican Congressman Eric Paulson speaking to Tom Weber. 8th District DFL Congressman Rick Nolan heard requests for more government spending during a listening session over the noon hour yesterday in Chisago County. Mark Zedeklik reports.
About 40 people turned out to see Nolan, warmly welcoming him to a county that heavily favored Donald Trump last year. Several people made polite appeals for more workforce development programs, environmental protection, and infrastructure projects. Nolan sharply criticized President Trump for bombing a Syrian airbase and for proposing big shifts from domestic spending to the military.
You know, we're heading in the wrong direction. And when you lob 59, 60 cruise missiles into Syria, that's aside from the physical and human damage, those are $1 million apiece.
After the meeting, Nolan said he's leaning toward getting in the race for governor. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Center City.
Minnesota lawmakers returned to the Capitol yesterday with a lot of budget work ahead of them in the remaining weeks of the 2017 session. It won't be easy. House and Senate Republicans have big differences to resolve with DFL Governor Mark Dayton over how much to spend and how much to give back in tax cuts over the next 2 years. And as Tim Pugmire reports, they're even disagreeing on how they should negotiate.
Governor Dayton welcomed back legislators with a warning against end-of-session gamesmanship. In a letter to GOP leaders, Dayton restated his opposition to cuts to state services when there's a budget surplus of more than $1.5 billion. He also emphasized that House and Senate negotiators need to agree on the budget bills before he joins in. Dayton said during an interview on WCCO Radio that he wants one legislative position.
I've already set forth my position with my budget proposal and various policy proposals, so then we'll have something to negotiate. But I'm not going to negotiate with them before they've negotiated between themselves.
But Republican leaders have their own ideas. House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he wants the governor and his commissioners fully engaged now in public negotiations. Dowd said he wants those talks to result in bills that the governor will sign.
My hope is the governor agrees to engage in that. If he doesn't, it means that he wants smoky backroom deals with just a few people. I just don't think that serves Minnesotans well. So send your commissioners to conference committee. Come yourself if you want to. But we're going to make our decisions and negotiate in open in conference committee, period.
Dowd criticized Dayton and his commissioners for detailing a long list of objections to the Republican budget bills and not acknowledging things they like. He also took issue with the governor's continued push for a gas tax increase that doesn't have the votes to pass. But during that radio interview, Dayton said he no longer sees a gas tax increase as viable. He said he will probably swallow the Republican plan to use the general fund to pay for much-needed road and bridge projects.
It's the best I can do. I tried for 3 years now and gotten nowhere with, again, the ideologues.
The session can end without a transportation bill, but lawmakers must pass a 2-year budget by the May 22nd adjournment if they want to avoid a special session or a repeat of the 2011 stalemate that led to a government shutdown. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said the initial budget bills were passed with plenty of time left for negotiation. But Gazelka said he too wants the governor involved now rather than later.
If we have a roadblock, then we will send a bill to him that he may veto, but that would not be our preference. Our preference would be that we actually continue to communicate and negotiate to a successful resolution.
Negotiation got underway on legislation to bring Minnesota into compliance with the federal Real ID law. There's one key hurdle. The House bill would put in state statute an administrative rule that prohibits unauthorized immigrants from obtaining driver's licenses. The Senate bill does not. DFL House Minority Leader Melissa Hortman said the solution to Real ID is not complicated.
The bill that passed off the Senate floor, I believe 60-7, could pass out of the Minnesota House tomorrow with 100% support. So why muck it up with all these controversial, divisive issues?
Speaker Dowd predicted a Real ID compromise would be ready by the end of the week. Governor Dayton said a Real ID bill is needed this session, and he's ready to sign it. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.